It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
This podcast, Two Questions About Restitution, continues our series on reclaiming forgiveness. Over the years, the article Restitution, What Is It, Why It Matters, has triggered a lot of great questions. That article was the subject of the previous podcast. For context, we explored earlier the gift of a new beginning called repentance. We then spoke about confession as repentance in words and restitution as repentance in works. Although there have been other questions about restitution, here are two of those questions and my responses. The first question is, restitution is most easily seen when it involves property, as was discussed. What does restitution look like when slander, gossip, character assassination, etc. has taken place? Well, here's a general principle. Confession and restitution should take place in the same arena in which the wrong or the sin was committed. A couple of biblical illustrations of this principle are Zacchaeus' confession in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, specifically verse 8, and Paul's retraction in Acts 23, verses 1 to 5, specifically verse 5, when confronted by the high priest. Now, here's a modern or a current example. A person calls a workmate a liar, a cheat, and a thief in the presence of four colleagues. Later, that person discovers that she was wrong about the accusations. She had slandered and assassinated the character of her co-worker. Now, referring to our earlier posts, let's assume the accuser acknowledges her unloving action and takes hold of God's gift of repentance. After confessing the matter to God, she then confesses to the person she wronged. But what about the four colleagues? They should also hear the confession. This may not be possible at the same time and place, but the confession should be aired in the same forum as the sin committed. If the sin was committed in a group, then the confession should be made in the presence of that group. If one to one, then to that one. If in the privacy of one's own thoughts, then to God alone. Restitution, repentance and works, seeks to make the person who has been slandered whole again. If the slander circulated more widely in the office rumor mill or resulted in the co-worker losing employment, then a more public declaration of the wrong and the correction of the slander is necessary. Perhaps reimbursement for lost wages is required. Keep in mind that restitution is about making the other person whole again after they have been injured by your action. Now, here's a second question. I find I am having a hard time applying this to real-life situations. Where in the process do you work out restitution? Should there be a place for negotiation with the victim or not? If you have any more examples, please share them. Well, here's my response to that. If I understand the question correctly, the issue seems to be whether there are limits on the offender's restitution, or is there a blank check filled in by the victim? I suppose situations can arise in which the victim takes advantage of the offender's desire to make restitution. Perhaps we can find help from some Old Testament texts on restitution. For instance, Exodus 22, verses 1 to 15, is an extended prescription for restitution in situations of theft or damage to another person's property or livestock. Now, even though it's not likely you've stolen someone's ox, we get a sense of what community standards were and what love of neighbor looks like. Here's Exodus 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep, and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. You'll also recall Zacchaeus committed to repay 4 or 5 times the amount he had gained by cheating others, Luke 19, verse 8. What general insights can we draw from this Old Testament text? Well, first, restitution will probably be more expensive than what was gained from the wrong action. You will end up paying more. This seems to be necessary in making a person whole again, and it has the added element of deterrence. In other words, you do not profit from your wrong. The second point is, community is involved in the context of Exodus 22, as well as in texts such as Matthew 18. The presence of community will have the effect of counteracting abuses by the victim. Yes, you will probably pay more through restitution, but there are limits upon which the community will insist, even if that means a church community, 1 Corinthians 6 verses 1 to 11, or a civil court. Now, I hope these answers are on point and helpful. Now, here are some other questions that have been asked. I received other great questions, and one of them is this. Can you expand on what you mean about restitution sometimes not being possible? That question, together with a movie I watched on Netflix a few years ago, got me thinking. Is it possible to make restitution in situations in which the victim cannot be made whole again? I'll try to respond to this question in the next podcast. In the meantime, and if it's available to you, consider watching the movie Railway Man, featuring Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman, and Hiroyuki Sandana. It's based on a true story, and it's an interesting study in abuse and forgiveness. In the next podcast, we'll continue to explore the theology and practice of restitution.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.